You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.
Hello and welcome to this Times Higher Education Rankings podcast special for the 2015 BRICS and Emerging Economies Rankings. My name's Chris Parr. I'm joined by editor of the THE Rankings, Phil Beatty. This is the second annual BRICS Rankings, which were launched last year to give recognition to outstanding higher education institutions in the world's emerging markets, namely Brazil, Russia, India, China and South Africa, the so-called BRICS, plus Chile, Colombia, the Czech Republic, Egypt, Hungary, Indonesia, Malaysia, Mexico, Morocco, Pakistan, Peru, the Philippines, Poland, Thailand and Turkey and the United Arab Emirates. Rather than me sitting here listing countries, Phil, perhaps we should start by asking why we launched these BRICS and emerging economies specific rankings.
Well, I think the first thing is it was a question of demand. There are actually only 10 universities from those countries that make the overall world top 200 list. So what we're finding is that although these countries, many of them had prioritized improving their higher education systems, building more competitive universities, being more globally competitive, they weren't getting the visibility in the rankings because they're so heavily dominated by the US and Western Europe and the rich world economies. So really it was a question of allowing more institutions from these developing countries to get more data on themselves, to be visible in this ranking, and we can start to predict and see the emerging potential from these emerging markets. And obviously you can see places like China, they already have universities that are globally competitive. You know, Peking, Tsinghua universities are both in the world top 50. We can see that, but now we can also start to see the strength and depth, and we can get a richer, deeper picture of these countries.
And I suppose that's a good time just to whiz through the top five. As you mentioned there, Peking and Tsinghua make up the top two, one and two respectively, as they were last year. At three is the Middle East Technical University in Turkey, up from ninth. Fourth is the University of Cape Town, which was third last year. And then you have Moscow State University, which sits in fifth place. And as you sort of hinted there, a lot of these will be featured in the bigger rankings. I suppose it gets quite interesting when you get a bit further down to institutions that otherwise wouldn't have had any recognition at all.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we publish the top 400 in the world, but actually a lot of these institutions don't feature anywhere near the world top 400. So we're getting a much richer, deeper picture. And you can see, as I said, you know, the strength and depth. And you can actually see that, you know, China may only have two or three institutions that are serious global players, but you can start to understand how many of them are there or thereabouts. So, for example, you know, China has 27 universities in the top 200 of this list. Taiwan has 19. So you can actually start to understand, you know, have they just got one or two superstars, or do they have strength and depth, and do they have an emerging system that's becoming more and more competitive? And I think the answer, as far as China's concerned, is an absolute resounding yes. These universities are strengthening, they are gaining ground. There are more institutions from China in the top 200 this year than last year. India's had a better year, Russia's had a better year. But actually, I think all the real excitement is focused in China, and perhaps Russia as well, because they have a very concerted drive to improve their universities. The 5-100 program, which is designed to get five institutions in the world 100 by 2020, which is exceptionally ambitious, probably too ambitious, really. But it is backed by money, it is backed by reforms, and it is quite an exciting time. So there's lots of really dynamic, exciting countries in this list, and we're giving visibility to them, and we're starting to really get good data, quality data over time on the institutions.
Yeah, one other country that's had a good year, it seems, is Turkey. I mentioned one of the institutions there in the top five, Middle East Technical University. They were up from sort of ninth to third, and that's sort of, we've seen a similar rise among a lot of Turkish institutions in these rankings and in the wider sort of top 400 of the world university rankings too. I don't know if there's anything you'd like to sort of say about that change.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no question that Turkey's exceptional rise, some of that is a methodological issue. There's a lot of institutions from Turkey who have relatively small volumes of research output and have also been part of this extremely highly cited research in around CERN and the Higgs boson discovery. So actually what we're finding is exceptionally highly cited research attributed to universities with low volumes of research has given them quite a boost to their research scores. So there is a statistical challenge around that. But actually, I think we need to be really clear and say that it's not anomalous. You know, Turkey has put a lot of effort into this major particle physics project. Their universities have gained fantastically from being part of one of the world's most exciting pure science discoveries of recent times. And well beyond specific papers around CERN, we've seen Turkey seeing, you know, really significant increased spending in research. You know, I spoke to Abdullah Atalar, who's the president of Bilkent University in Turkey, which is doing well and hasn't been part of this CERN research. And he pointed out that, you know, 10 years ago, 0.48% of Turkey's GDP was spent on research. And a decade later, that was almost 1%. And of course, the GDP has grown massively over that period as well. So they've seen a fairly major, you know, tripling, more than tripling of the research funding in recent times. They've got much more competitive research funding. They've got a sort of mixed economy of universities from the public and private sector. So I think, you know, Turkey should be celebrated as an improving nation in higher education. It's not all about these particular papers.
Absolutely. Well, other nations featuring in this BRICS and Emerging Economies ranking include Hungary and Pakistan, Malaysia, the United Arab Emirates, South Africa has 5 representatives on the list this year. You'll find all the detailed coverage in the usual places on thewur.com. You'll also find it via timeshighereducation.co.uk. The data for these rankings, Phil, was powered by Thomson Reuters. That's set to change. There's a new partner for the THE rankings.
Yeah, that's right. So just last week, actually, we made a fairly significant announcement about changing how we're doing the rankings. I think the most important message really is that the methodology will pretty much stay the same. We developed the methodology over a year of open consultation with an expert advisory group. So the balance of indicators, the types of indicators we're using, will remain pretty constant. We may make some improvements, as we always want to do, as things, opportunities emerge. So the change is not about methodology, it's actually about the data. And actually the most important issue is that we're bringing much more data in-house. So whereas we'd always outsourced all of our data to Thomson Reuters, core data sets will now be collected, managed and owned by Times Higher Education. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important to make sure the rankings are as accountable and as transparent as possible. So we'll be going directly to universities to collect the basic institutional data, which forms the foundation of the rankings, you know, staff numbers, student numbers, income figures. And if you're a university who has been supplying under our old system, you need to make absolutely sure you're involved in the new system. We have a new data collection portal to register to take part in that. I would recommend you email profilerankings@timeshighereducation.com or just come and speak to me. So that's a core change. Another significant change is we're doing our reputation survey ourselves. So we're owning the reputation data, and the reputation survey is now live in the field. It's an invitation-only survey of published scholars from across the country. We've dramatically increased the number of languages that survey is going out in, from 9 up to 15 languages. Mm-hmm. So we're asking everybody in the sector to look out for an invitation. They won't all be invited because it's invitation-only. It's a representative sample. But if you do get an email from us, timeshighereducation@surveys.elsevier.com, please do fill it in. You'll be representing thousands of your peers in your country and in your field. And then the other change is that we're changing the source of the citation data, the public journal articles database. We're moving from Thomson Reuters Web of Science. We're now going to start using Scopus, which is the Elsevier database. And the primary reason for that is actually Elsevier has almost double the number of journals included in its database. So that's going to allow us to get an even richer, deeper picture of more institutions in the developing countries who are less, perhaps less mature in their research systems and aren't getting as many papers in the Web of Science, but they do have better representation in Scopus. So it's about being more transparent, more accountable for our data, and actually getting an ever richer, deeper picture of global higher education.
Indeed, all of that information is of course available on our websites, www.theuur.com for the rankings. There's also a story on timeshighereducation.co.uk to fill in all the details. They're also the same places where you'll find all the results and analysis of this year's second annual THE BRICS and Emerging Economies rankings. If you're listening to this, it means it's published now, so head along there to check out the results in full. That's all for this THE Rankings podcast special.
You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.